Okay, we're picking up from the bottom of Chaf Vav Amud Beis, the very last signs, where the words of Tanu Rabbanan. So we're learning in a Braisa, HaHolech Mimakom LaMakom. Someone is traveling from place to place. He was on a business trip. So he's going from place to place. And then while he's there, he's told of a death of one of the Krovim that he has to Shiva for. So now, turning on to the next Talmud, says the Gemara, Im Yachol Limayit Be'isko, so you might, if it's possible for him to stop doing his business, he's on a business trip, to not do anything, as Tosfos points out, because we must be talking about a parent, must be talking about Davar Avid. So we saw that Davar Avid is something which by Shiva should be done, unless it's a crazy loss. It's even worse than Davar Avid, but that generally, then you have to stop. So here also, you should be able to stop doing it during the Shiva. However, in a situation in love, if you are not able to do that, and you're not able to stop all your business, then you galgal imayim, you continue doing business with, like, let's say he has business partners or with him, then you could do that with the people he's traveling with. However, he himself should not be doing it. So we see over here that this is a special leniency, even though generally, during Shiva, even if it's a davar avid, unless it's a crazy substantial loss, right? That was a whole shiloh over there. But in general, if it's a general davar avid, we don't let you do it during Shiva. Here, there's a special leniency because you already went out on the business trip and you just found out about it before the death of your parents. So then we're going to have the special shita over here that's going to be mekel. And according to Rashi, the braisa is referring to a merchant, somebody who was like a merchant. And many Rishonim understand the braisa is to any kind of traveler, not necessarily a merchant. And therefore, they were referring to over here that if you're traveling, then you would, even for buying the goods, you need them for the hemshech, that would be potentially the heter over here, according to those Rishonim. Now, continuing the Gemara now. Tanur Rabbanan. We're going to talk about turning over the beds. Me'imasai kofin esamitos. We talked about turning over the beds. The idea of turning over the beds is the act of mourning. When do those take effect? So really, this is Shaila of kofin esamitos, just one of the examples of the Nehugi Avelos. We have the other lachas, shoes, and learning Torah, all these things that apply during the week of Shiva. So really, it means, according to many Rishonim, all of these Nehugi Avelos, when do they start? Mishiyatzam pesach pleso, from the when you go, leave the door of his house, divrei Rabbi Lezer, that's where the Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shomer, mishiyisasim hagoilob. When the stimas hagoilob is, it's a whole shaila, what is a golob? Rashi, we mentioned many times, Rashi in Ksubas tells us that a golel is a coffin. And that means that according to Rashi, when you have when the casket is sealed and a placement in the grave, that's according to Rashi when the mourning period begins. According to Rabbi Natam, Tosfos over there disagree with him, that because they use a whole raya, right, you can even use an animal, things like that, they assume that it's the tombstone placed over the grave, and that's what we're referring to according to Tosfos. Okay, so Machlokas Rashi tells when that is, but that's when the Nehugi Avelos start kicking, that's when Shiva kicks in, that's a whole shaila. Do you actually need to do something? This happens many often, because many times you'll have a burial right around Shkia time. So do you actually have to sit Shiva to actually start the Shiva, or is the moment that you do the burial that's already considered finished and you already start the Shiva at that point? So I think in Eretz Yisrael they're more mekel. I think that they assume that the moment that you already bury the Niftar, if it's before Shkia, that already the Shiva is already kicking because you want to get that extra day, because Mikta Sayom Kekulo, a lot of people don't want to sit till, you know, it's very strenuous to sit Shiva, so that if you finish it before the Shkia, that whole day will count as a day, as long as you started part of it, even if it's a minute. So that's the whole Shaila. Okay. So it's very important to know when the Shiva really begins. Meister Shemitz Rabban Galiel HaZakin, one time, Rabban Galiel HaZakin, he was Rabban Galiel HaZakin, he was the one, the elder Rabban Galiel HaZakin, who was the Nasi, so he died. Kevon Shiyatzim Pesach Pleso, when he left his house, the body was removed. Amarlan Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer said to them, to Rabban Galiel's family, Kafu mitosechem, overturn your beds, for now the Shiva has begun. That was the Shitosa. V'kevan shenista magoilel. So v'kevan shenista magoilel, when it was sealed, Amar Lahem Rabbi Yeshua said, Kafu mitosechem. Then Rabbi Yeshua told them to turn over the beds. So Amar Lo, Kfar Kafino, Pizaka, we already listened. Rabbi Lezer already told us to do it earlier. When they're ready, we leave the house to start the burial process, you assume Shiva starts. So we see a machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, when it is, based on the previous braisa, that would be the same machlokas. Tanur Rabban, we learn in Rabbeisa, Me'imasai Zokfin is Amitos Be'er Shabbos. When you're allowed to straighten the beds out on Erev Shabbos, we learn, right, there is at least Darim Shabbat Sinah for sure. That was machlokas. Even Darim Shabbat Sinah, there was a machlokas. Some say that there would be no Nehugi Avelos, but we hold like Darim Shabbat Sinah doesn't apply on Shabbos, so your beds, you don't. No, so that would be Shiloh, that would be Javarim. Okay, that's a Shiloh. But either way, there is no Nehugi Avelos on Shabbos. So you don't have to turn over the beds. I mean, the chairs. You don't sit the Avelos in Erev Shabbos, because Erev Shabbos, there is no Avelos. So Mina Mincha Lamala, so it makes sense. Erev Shabbos, Mina Mincha Lamala, from the time Mincha onwards. It's a whole Shiloh, it's Tosfos Masupak. Which Mincha are we talking about? We know there's fundamentally two different Minchas. There's Mincha Kitana, Mincha Gedola. Why is it called Mincha Kitana? Because you have less time to daven. Mincha Kitana starts from 2.5 hours before the Shkia until Shkia. Going with the grud that the days start starts from Netzin and ends at Shkia. However, Mincha Gedola is much earlier. Mincha Gedola is 6.5 hours in, so you have another 5.5 hours before the Shkia, according to the on a perfect 666A. You'll have another 5.5 hours before the Shkia. So which is it? Tosos and Mesupuk about that. That's a whole Shaila in Tosos. So Amar Rabbi Bavuna Alpha Bichin Ena Yoshev Aleha. The mourner is not allowed to sit in the upright bed Ad Shetefshach until it becomes dark out, until Shabbos actually begins. You're allowed to do the preparations that you have to do. That's preparing for it. However, to sit on the upright bed and to sit on the things, that only should be done already when Shabbos begins, not actually Shabbos. And what about Motzei Shabbos? Let's say day 7 is already Sunday, so you have the last day of Shiva. Still, Chozer Kofi, you still nevertheless have to overturn the beds in his house. You're obligated to the Nehugei Avelos at that point, and you have to keep the halachas of Avelos, even though 7th day is Mixas Adam Kekula, would start already that night, but that would still, you still have to overturn the beds of Shabbos, even though you're going to observe part of that if you assume that night. That's a Machalkas Rishonim. That night would count to Mixas Adam Kekulo, that's the Ramban, but there, we saw earlier the Tosos holds Mixas Yom Kekulo, at least one of their answers in Tosos, it doesn't apply by nighttime, only by the next day. The Ritva also holds like that. So therefore, it must, according to them, the entire night of the seventh night would be applicable to the Halachas, so that's why you have to turn it over, and then the next morning, that's when they're only going to get up from Shiva because of Mixas Yom Kekulo. Tanur Rabban would learn it, right? So, Kofa Mitoso, someone who's returning his bed, Lo Mitoso Bilvadu Kofa, not just your own bed, El Komito Sheish Lo Betok Meso Kofa, you have to turn over all the beds of the house, the beds that are used for sitting, that's what she points out, or sleeping, or something like that, you're going to use them, you only those beds. You have 10 beds in 10 different places. Kofes, Kulan, you have to overturn all of them. Again, even though they're different parts of the house, you're going to use some of them. So therefore, they have to be overturned. If they're just all stacked in one place, so many point out that in the Hanami, you don't need to turn them over. But if they're planning to potentially being used, then you should turn them all over. Vafilu Chamisha Achin, if you have 5 brothers, the Mesechad, one of them died. Kulan Kofin, all of them have to overturn their beds, each in their homes, even though they're not going to be necessarily sleeping in his own house and not the house of where the person was Niftar. They all have to overturn the beds. The requirement to overturn the beds is not a result of the actual Shiva house, not in the Beis Avelos, but it's an obligation upon the Avel. Wherever you are, you have a chiyuv to turn over the beds. If it was a bed that was designated for storage, just for utensils and the like, not for sleeping, you don't have to overturn that one because that's just a storage room. It's not like you just like leave things on it, then you don't have to turn it over. Dargosh, like we pointed out, the practice, we don't turn over our beds now. It's also hard, and the Goyim, we don't turn over the beds in the Beis Avel. Dargashim, we don't really have a concept of that. The way that their beds were, there was a concept of turning it over. You could see, I think that the Torah Museum in Brooklyn, that's one of the things they show, is how the old beds were. You could see how they turned it over. Dargash in Tarek Lachaboso. One does not have to overturn a dargash. A dargash is, the Gemara is going to explain what that is. It's a type of bed in the times of Gemara. Elazokfo, you keep it on its end, so it's on the side of its legs and again in a vertical position against the wall. A dargash unties its loops and it falls by itself, meaning that a dargash has like a sheet of material, Rashi explains it, has a wooden frame inside of it, and when the loops are untied, the sheet is going to fall to the ground. So therefore, when you overturn it, you're removing the sleeping surface of the bed, that's considered turning it over. So now the Gemara asks, what is this dargash? My dargash. Amarula artsa de dargash. It's a bed of mazel, bed of luck, kilu. So that's a whole Rishonim. A bed of luck. They would keep a bed in there for good luck. That's nichush. Nichush is in the Torah, says in Isser Derasiv. Those are not right. You're not supposed to have this practice of luck and things like that. We don't believe in those things. So some explain. So Rashi explains that another Rishonim, I think, they would keep it. It wasn't a luck thing. It was designated for one of the malachim. The malachim guards the house, and it was done in honor of the malach. It's not considered nichush, and that's why it's mutter. So, but it's a question of Rishonim, how you have the mazel over here. Amrei Rabba Elamata Gabe Melach Tosanak. But it doesn't make sense to define it as something which is a good luck bed. Kolam Asubin Aris. Everyone is sitting on the ground when he's in Shiva. When he's sitting in morning, and he's right in the Shiva. The Mesa Vala Dargash, he reclines on a Dargash. So we're going to give him specifically at this time, we're giving him a bed that's for good mazel. So the Gemara says, Mi'ika Mididahade in Allah, you know, we don't have the king sit on the bed because it's designated for the Malach. It wasn't a bed fit for sitting of the king. Vahashta Mosvinalei, but now that he's in a Velas, we're going to tell him that he's become a mourner, we're going to tell him that now it's Shayach for him to sit on this bed. So Lechora, obviously, Kolshikin, he shouldn't be sitting on this bed. So says the Gemara, Maskiv Laravashi, what's the problem with this? The Gemara says, Ma'ikusha, what's the problem? Is it any different than eating and drinking? Normally, right? In the case of a normal person, of the king, dehada, until now when the king was eating and drinking, lo'achlina v'lashkine, right? We don't feed him, we don't give him drinks, he had his butlers, he had his people doing it, right? However, hashto, achlina v'lashkine, now that he became a mourner, we feed him, we give him drink of our food and our beverages, our drinks, even though it's normally usher for him to do that. So since we see that there's differences between a king, so therefore it's not so crazy to assume that in the case where he became the mourner, also we give him the time of chashivas to have this bed, because we don't normally give him our stuff. But yeah, we'll give him the good luck bed that was done for the malach in honor of his avelus. So the Gemara says, Ella, so therefore it's not even a kasha. Eli kasha, kasha. So rather, Ula's kasha couldn't have been that. Rather, this was a kasha. This son really should be the sanya. Dargash in a tarach lakafoso. You don't have to turn over a dargash. Ella zokva, you put it upright on its end. V'arza darga. If it is a bed of the good fortune bed, amai in a tarach lakafoso. Why is a mourner not obligated to overturn it? Hatanya, we learn in a braisa. Kofa mitasa, lo mitasa bilvadukal kofet, windows with a kofet. Then, if you're turning over his bed, you overturn all the beds in his house. So we see over here, you have to overturn the dargash and turn it over also, and do the kfiyah and turn it over, since it's actually an ordered by bed, according to Ula, therefore, why shouldn't it be included? So Gemara says, my kasha, why is this a kasha? Why is it any different than the bed we saw before? That's a mitam yuchedes lekelem, that's designated for storage. If it's just for utensils and stuff, for storage, to sound as we learn in the Braisa, mitam yuchedes lekelem, if it's a bed which is designated for utensils and storage and not for sitting or sleeping, you don't have to turn it over. So we see from there, that the rule requiring all beds to be turned doesn't apply to things that are not for the purposes of sitting and sleeping. So by the same din, a bed which is designated as the dargash is only for good mazel, so then obviously it should be also included as something which is mutter, and then there's no kasha of ula also. So again, we're stuck that this isn't a question in ula. So Zezek Mar, you're right, we have to fix the kasha again with ula. Ela kasha kasha. So if there is the kasha on ula, the following. If in the case of a dargash, one utensil it sloops and it falls by itself. The dargash is constructed of an ordinary bed, and it's a bed for the mazel and not for sleeping. My karbita nisle, what loops does it have? Since it's made as an ordinary bed, well, it doesn't have these type of loops. So what's going on over here? So says the Gemara. Therefore, Ula's understanding of dargash has been rejected. So the Gemara therefore says, this is what dargash. She asked Ravin, Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Amar Leia, who my rabbanim Rav Tachlifta be Marava Shmei. They asked a certain Rav by the name Rav Tachlifta, who was Marava, is from the west, because Eretz Yisrael, he was from Eretz Yisrael, was the west of Bavel. So they used to call him from Marava, they called him like the westerner from Eretz Yisrael. They said to him, Davish Shchich Meshuka Dagdigla, Rav Tachlifta. He used to go oftentimes to the leather maker's market where they knew about leather. My dargash, and he explained, what is dargash? It's Arsa Ditzala. Rather, it's a bed of leather. You have collapsible beds used for the chashivim and the chashivim people. So they would have wooden frames in the holes, and they would have the loops that were in the middle, and the leather sheet would be hung for the frame. So that's what this type of darga is over here. That's what we're explaining, is the bed of leather. It manami also learn amar b'yirmiyah dargash yirusa matocha. A dargash has its bindings from within the leather straps to attach the leather sheet to the frames by the loops, so that the holes are going to be on the sides of the frames. So the Gemara says mata sirugin agaba, and an ordinary bed has the bindings from the support for the sleeping surface, though they're wrapped around the sideboards of the frame and they don't pass through it. So we see over here that would be. So the Gemara now says, how do we pass it between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel? Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Alacha, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Alacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that the case of a dargash, if one unties its loops so that its sleeping surface falls to the ground, that's what you should be doing. So the Gemara says, Itmar Nami. The Marsha takes out Itmar Nami, Havit Mar Nami, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, Rabbi Yassi, is a different Alacha here. Mita Sheniklata Yotzin, a bed whose double. The double size of it, like a canopy, type of canopy bed. So if a type of canopy bed, so then it has two tall things, like a teepee, right? Like like a triangle type of top. So what happens? Zokva Yaya, you put it upright on its end, and that's going to be enough because it only has two sides, one on each end. So then it can't be made to upside down. So therefore, it just to stand it on its end would be enough over here in this example. Tanurban, we learned it, right? So Yashin al Gabi Kise, if he didn't overturn his bed, he slept on a chair, al Gabi Udnya, or on a mortar, or even on the ground. You don't fulfill obligations. What obligation? There's a concept specifically of overturning the bed, and that is a new avilas that you should be doing, even though you are sleeping on the floor. That's not a kiyum of kfiyas hamita. So therefore, the sleeping on the floor, even though you fulfilled the obligation of the idea of the tsar, still you haven't found that the obligation overturn your bed, which is something which is not what you haven't done. You're allowed to sweep, you're allowed to water the ground, right, to get rid of the dust. But you're allowed to do cleaning. This isn't something which is going to be, this is a general thing you do in a house. So even though in a Beis Avel, it's, you're focused on the mace, but that's not considered a shtach to the mace to clean it. So you're allowed to even, let's say, clean plates, cups, jars, right, all these different things, bottles. You're allowed to clean them in the Beis Avel. However, you're not supposed to bring like the incense, which smells very good. That's a type of, like a perfume to put that in. That's inappropriate for the Beis Avel. So the Gemara says, Aini v'ha tana bar kapara. We learn in Braisa and in bar kapara. In mavrichin al mugmar v'in masam beis ha'avel. In mavrichin rather, you don't make the bracha on the incense and spices in a beis ha'avel. So this implies that bruchei de mavrichin, you don't make a bracha on it, which implies that it's there though. Ha asuyim b'dina, but you're allowed to bring them there because he's handling whether you make a bracha or not, which is clearly indicative of the fact that it was there. So we see that there was mugmar, there was this good smelling perfume type of thing in the beis ha'avel. So which is it? So the Gemara says, lo kasha abe beis ha'avel. The Braisa which says that it's aser, that refers to the place where the room and their mourners are themselves, that is, it's inappropriate to bring the good smelling incense. However, in the place where the gatherers, the people who are gathering to console, the room where the mourners were sitting and the room where the mourners are sit to accept the condolences, the room that it's appropriate. So that's something which there's a lot of people there, and you know, when a lot of people come into a place, it could be a little bit smelly. So therefore, we counter the bad smells by putting in the good perfume, and that's not something which is, I guess, it's not for necessarily the idea of it's not there for like extra indulgence and things like that. It's just there to get the BL out. So then also that's going to be mutter. You're not allowed to deliver to now up to the next mission. You're not allowed to deliver food to a Beis Avel. Lo betavla velo bekusla, not in a tray, because these are apparently very elegant, and it's not something which should be done in a Beis Avel, or in a kuskla, is also a large bowl. It was very nice. Again, these are things that are very decorative, and it's not shaykh to send this to a Beis Avel. Velo bekinin or a large basket, ela beselim, only in plain baskets. The Gemara is going to explain why specifically there should be the halacha. This is again machlokas Rishonim. Actually, this is talking about chalamoid or not, but I don't think it'll be enough kamina, because if you say it's chalamoid, kol shekin, the halacha would be a chiddush. Even chalamoid, where generally they're not sitting shiva, so you shouldn't be sending them these fancy things, so then obviously Kol Shekin will say it in not Chol HaMoed, that would be usher to send these things. So I don't think there's an afkamina, but there's a machlok shown him, I don't understand the Mishnah. Mishnah Kedin is v'in omrin birchas avelim b'moed. Also, you don't say the bracha birchas avelim. Birchas avelim was after the burial, they used to say, and they had the Sudas of Ra, and they would also Baruch Menachem Avelim, the Baruch Menachem Avelim, this was called Berchas Rechava, the bracha that's in the street. This bracha was said only in the presence of a minion, and also repeated during the Shiva, when people who had not been present at the original burial would come. It's similar to, actually, that's why it's actually mentioned in the Gemara over there, because it's similar to Sheva Brachas, Panim Chadoshos, different things that we discuss over there. So that actually comes up. People who had not been to the funeral would say this bracha. We don't say this bracha as long as that, at least B'Shem Malchus, but this is something which is a bracha. We do the Shura, we're going to see. Aval Omdin Bishur Menachem, we do sit in a row and console. That the way they used to do it is they would those who were present would pass the mourners and do the that was the shura. However, we do the opposite now, that we shouldn't be, but if it happens, then Reuven dies, right? So what they do is that the family well we have rows on both sides, right? And then through the walk, the Avilim will walk through the middle, and then everyone who's passed them will say Amakum Menachem Nasam Zom Mishlan Mishlan. That's how we do the shura now. Potinus Rabin, we tell the people to leave because we're in the middle of Chalamoid right now. So therefore, we tell them to leave right away. We don't set the casket down on the street on Chol HaMoed. Shalol argilas ha'espe, not to encourage eulogies, which are usher on Chol HaMoed. We're not allowed to do eulogies on Chol HaMoed, and not even, except for Talmud Chacham, we're going to see. Rechov argilas ha'espe, velo shal nashim lo'olam. No, do we put the casket down of a woman in the street? Mnei ha'kavod, because of the dignity of a woman, because this is something where they might have blood flow come from them and be embarrassment, so that's not shan shayach to put the mace there in front of everybody. Says the Gemara, Tanar Barlin, Reisa, Barishonayu, Malachin, Bevesa Av. Originally, they would deliver food to a house in the morning in Ashirim Bekaldos Hakesef Vishal Zav. Wealthy people would send them in baskets of silver and gold. Vaniyim Besali Natsrim Shalarava Klufa. And the poor people didn't have any money, so they did it. These willow twigs. Vaniyim is Baishim. So they would the poor people would be very embarrassed about this. Iskinoshi Akomavin Besali Natsrim Shalarava Klufa Mekavon Shalniyim. So they made a takana that everybody should send them in the willow twigs because of the concern of the honor of the poor people. Tanar Bamelan and Abraisa Barishonei Mashkim Veisalav. Originally, they would serve drinks in a house of mourning. Ashirim Beschuchas Shalavena. Kosher Shalavana in a glass, a very fancy glass, was very expensive. However, the Aniyim would give it, because it's wood, they would drink it in the colored glass. Bayu Aniyim is Baishin, again, the Aniyim, the poor people would feel very embarrassed. Eskinoshi, Kol Mashkim, everybody, even the rich people should be drinking in the colored glass and make one of Shal Aniyim in the mourner's home because of the concern of the honor of the poor people. We don't embarrass them. And so we therefore, everybody has the same thing. They would leave the face of the wealthy person uncovered after he died to show to encourage these. Again, it's an idea. You should be sad over the mace. So you see the dead body, you would feel even more saddened. And they would cover the face of the poor people because in the years of the famine, they would be so famished, it was like embarrassing to see their face. And all the people would see this, and Aniyim would come to a Levaya, they would be so embarrassed. They're like, oh, I'm going to look like this also when I die. It's so embarrassing. So therefore, they made a takana that everybody should cover the faces, no matter if you're rich, poor, doesn't matter, out of concern of the honor of the poor people. Originally, they would take out the corpse to be buried of the wealthy people on a dargash in a very fancy bed. Aniyim would turn on to the next now would take them out. Bikila, as Rashi explains, the mita shel armesim, like the casket. Aniyim is baishin. Again, the poor people are thinking, oh, what a terrible, when I die, this is going to be terrible to me. It's going to shel kol matzim bebila. So the rabbis instituted that everybody should take it out on a casket, make kavanah shel aniyim, out of the concern of the honor of the poor people. Originally, they would place incense under those who died with problems in their stomach, because in their tents, they had issues there, and they would smell very bad. So everybody who had these same stomach issues, they're thinking, oh, when I die, then I'm going to smell terrible. They're going to put this mugmar, and it's embarrassing. Everybody knows that I have this terrible ailment. So because of the cover of the honor and the embarrassment that the people who have stomach issues would have, so therefore they made a takana that everybody should have the mugmar, the good smelling perfume under them when they die. So originally they would people who had nida, so therefore they're tamei avatuma, so they would immerse the utensils that were touched with them before they died. And the women who were nida now would be ashamed. Oh, look at our status, like a better that we're different than other women. So it's interesting why, because who says they're going to die when nidos? Maybe they're afraid they're going to be nidos, but then all the women should be scared. Only the nidos are embarrassed. It's a very interesting gemara over here at this point of the nidos would be ashamed because who says they're going to potentially be a nida when they die? And so therefore then, if it's not that, and they're afraid that maybe they'll be a nida when they die, so then all women should be afraid of that. So not just the nidos chayos. So interesting thing. Either way, his kinoshim is bilan agav and kolan nashim. So therefore, instituted that the woman should immerse all immerse utensils on all women who died. Nek vodosh nidos chayos, out of concern for the honor of the living people, the ones who are alive right now who are nidos. Also, they would immerse kelim on a zav. Zav also is a person of a tumah who has a specific type of a thing come out of him and his body. So they would immerse utensils used by him before they died. Zavim Chaim is Baishim. Again, the Zavim Chaim would feel very ashamed about it. Eskino Shiu Matpilim Agave Akol. So therefore, they instituted they should immerse on account of anybody who died. Nekavodon Shal Zavim Chaim had a concern for the honor of the Zavim who are living. Originally, the people, the expense of burying the dead person was such a burden on the family who was poor that they couldn't afford all the fancy shrouds and all these things that the costing thousands of zuz. They couldn't afford it. It was like worse than paying for a chasna for them. They were so embarrassed they would just leave the maid there and then leave it on the community to bury them. They would run away. Rabbi Gamliel, a guy with kolos rosh batzba, Rabbi Gamliel came and kolos rosh batzba, he treated himself lightly. So some explain either when his relative died, he used this, or when he himself died, he made a tava that they should be buried in the very plain linen garments. And it was everyone realized that, wow, the nasi did this. So when the nasi did this, everybody followed his minag and they buried in plain linen garments. And then the aniyim weren't embarrassed anymore. So this was a very big thing that saved the day. People would even in basic canvas worth just a zuz, the most basic thing in the world people are buried with, that was all a tribute to the original way that Rabbi Gamliel came and fixed it. Now, we don't place the casket in the street during Chol Moed to not encourage people to do espedim, to do eulogies. Amar Papa, however, the Chol Moed does not override a Talmud Chacham who dies. A Talmud Chacham who dies, the leniency, the iser to engage in espedim does not apply, and you can't have espedim as you would. And Holoshkin Chanukah Purim, and even more so on Chanukah and Purim, because there's no iser malacha there, and they're less than case of Moed, so if on Chol Moed you're allowed to do espedim, then Holoshkin Chanukah Purim. Which leads us to the question, what is the talk of the status of Chanukah Purim? The Gemara never says refers to what the din is. It's a very fascinating machlokas Rishonim. Is there no avelos at all? Is it like Yom Tov? Does it cancel Shiva? Some say it's going to cancel Shiva. Let's say Dvarim Shabbat Sina, like Shabbat should apply. Others explain, all when you get avelos apply. A big machlokas from the Katze to Katze that the halachas are there. The Rambam says that we do have Shiva on Chanukah Purim, even in Dvarim that are in public. So that is a very interesting thing. So that by Hanukkah, again, a big shayla, Hanukkah and Purim. But either way, we see this Kol Shekein that is definitely on the same level as Chol Moed, and that would be the din, the machlokes about what happens exactly on Purim itself. So then the Gemara says now, that is v'chol shekein Purim, but anemila b'fanav. That's only when the presence of his casket of Alshol b'fanav lo, not the presence. Let's say you're doing a spadium all over the world, and somebody dies. So then, like for Steinman, when he died, people were doing a spadium in Lakewood and all over America because the Gadol Dor died. So that also that would not be considered something we should do on Chol Moed. Any v'har of kahanas after there's zvid minar davefum nara, he eulogized it on Chol Moed when he was far away from him. So wouldn't that be the case that you should do it far away? Amar Rabbi Yom Shmuave, it was the day of which you received the report about his death of kafanav dami, which is al halacha. Even if you're far away, if you hear about it only on Chol Moed, that would be the din of being in front of him. And then that would be something which would potentially be a heter even on Chol Moed. Nowadays, halacha lamaisa, we don't really have the real Talmid Chachamim, so we don't. Our practice is not to eulogize Talmid Chachamim on Chol Moed bizman hazeh. So that during Chanukah and Purim, however, there are those who are mekel. That's a whole shaila. Again, a lot of different things are talay minog, but that would be the shaila about Yom Chol Moed. Usually, I think we're makbid for every Talmid Chacham, even on Chol Moed. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Ula Hesped Alev. The Hesped is banging upon your chest. Tchsiv al shadayim sovdim, upon the breasts a person should be sovdim. It means to beat it. Tipuch bayad. Tipuch, the Mishnah refers to clapping with one hand. You're clapping the hands together as a sign of avelus. So and kilus beregel. Kilus is like stamping on the ground. These are all different things they used to do during the process of the hespedim. This was done. Many even Rishonim record that this was a minug that they were doing. They were banging on the ground. This was something they used to do. Different forms of avelus to show the grief how sad they were over the niftar. Someone who's stamping his foot should not stamp on a sandal, rather he should stamp with a shoe. Because there's danger if you're stamping so hard with your shoe, so then what's going to happen is that potentially you could come and break your foot. So therefore, it's a concern you come to stamp it so hard, so that should be something that's going to be on the ground, is going to break it, so they were afraid of that. Amar b'yochanav al kevan shenina rosha, avel, kevan shenina rosha, once he nods his head, shuv eim anach min rosha and leishav itzlo. So then the comforters are no longer to be sipa, because they already did what they had to do. So therefore, that indicates that he had recognized what they had done, he's happy with it, and he's okay with came to terms with the loss, and that's okay. B'yomar b'yochanav kol chayvin la'abad b'nei anasi, everybody's obligated to stand before nasi, chutz ma'abav v'chol, except for someone who's in mourning, and the person who is sick. So I think Rav Nemtzel uses one of his rayas. Rav Nemtzel understands the whole idea of Nirei Seva Takum and the whole idea of standing up for Talmid Chacham is that it's not just that you're standing up as the kavod. What is the kavod? Is that you're offering him your seat. You're offering him a place to sit. And Avel is usher. He's sitting on the ground. A small chair that's below the ground. That's the lach of the ground. That's why you sit on the chair. It's the heter. But really you're supposed to be sitting on the ground. So what is he offering him? By standing up, you're not offering anything. So this is a raya for Rav Nemtzel's mahalich that it's like, therefore there's no chiyav to stand for Talmid Chacham. And the same thing by a person who's sick. Also, he's in the bed. Everyone knows he's not offering him anything. You're not offering him to sit. So therefore, you don't have to get up for the nasi, and that would be obviously all Talmidei Chachamim. So if that's the case, so this whole idea, the halacha comes out that on Tisha B'Av, where also we're only sitting on the ground, so then you wouldn't have to sit, come off the ground, and to stand up for him because we're all like in a certain form of a velus, and that's quoted. I think Rabbi Kiviger quotes this chiddush halacha on Tisha B'Av. That might not be the halachas of standing up might apply for all of everybody on Tisha B'Av that you wouldn't have a chiyuv to stand up for Talmidei Chachamim. V'yamar Rabbi Yochanan chutz l'kol omrim lahem shvu. All are told to be sit after standing up for the nasi, except for chutz ma'aviv v'chayla, except for a mourner and an ill person. Since they are not required to stand in the first place, they don't have to be sitting without permission. Amar Rav Yudah Marav, avel yom rishon, someone who's mourning on the first day of mourning, asur le'echol mishlo. He's asur to eat. We already came across this a few times already, but now it's the actual source in the Gemara for this. You're not supposed to be eating your own food. The whole idea of Yecheskel, Hashem told Yecheskel that his wife would be dying and he shouldn't observe any of the normal practices of Avelos. This was an idea that was symbolically to show that the Jews, they're not going to have the ability to even be consoled and to do Avelos over that. So whatever Yecheskel was told to do, it shows that normally you should not be doing that. So one thing he says, V'lechem anashim lo seichel, the bread of other people you should not eat, which implies that during a normal case of Avelos, a person should be eating bread of other people. And therefore, Yecheskel was dafka different, and that's the idea of the mourner's meal is that a person is not supposed to be eating from his own, and that's the idea is because you're left to have your own food, you're not going to even eating, you're so in such grief, you're not even thinking about food. You see that a lot of times the people are around in a base avel, like you have someone coming over reminding the avel that he should be eating soon, like, and he keeps saying, I don't eat. The last thing they're thinking about is eating. So it's a famous, I think Rav Cutler used to say, Rav Aaron Cutler, or I forgot, Yitzchak Kuttner, one of them, always said this, like, the idea is it's a misvara, it's pasha that you shouldn't be eating on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, because on Tisha B'Av you're so sick. sad. The last thing you think about is food. You have no time to think about eating. You're in such a state of despair and sadness, you have no time to think about eating. And Yom Kippur, you're so happy, all your avelos are being moichel. You're davening all day to have your avelos be. You don't have time to take care of eating. Svara, it's such a simcha that Hashem is forgiving all of your avelos. You have so much to daven for, so much the whole year is taller right now. So obviously you shouldn't be eating. A nice idea. Anyway, so we see that the avel is going to neglect to eat, so we give it to avel food. And the Yerushalmi is a very scary lashon that it's like it's going to be a curse to anybody who doesn't give the mourners the proper food that they need to be taken care of. So that's the community is usually very good, Baruch Hashem, about giving them their food. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Rav Yosef Michlav Esudase Ladadi. Rabbi Rav Yosef used to exchange their meals with each other. Whenever one of them was in mourning, they would send them the meal. Obviously, you can't do this on condition that you do it for the other, but that would be like it's eating his own food. But since they exchange it, that would be something that's mutter. Now the Gemara continues. If there's a dead person in town, everybody in the town is ushered to get into work until the funeral because you have a chiyuv to take care of the dead body, and that would be only for those who are the Shulchan Aruch says the only way. It's the people who are not learning. However, the Beis Midrash, if there are other people and they're able to take care of it, then it wouldn't be something which is going to be usher. And there's anyway, we don't necessarily have this halacha because we have the Chevra Kadisha, who we know are taking care of it, so you wouldn't necessarily have that issue of Isra Malacha. However, when there is like a mace, it's not appropriate when it's going down a certain area, like where the stores are, at least for Talmud Chacham for sure, then it's generally the minute that the stores will close just for the, at least the Levaya, the time of the Levaya. Now the Gemara continues. I came to place of Dramasa. Shama Kol Shippur Deshchav, he heard that the sound of a shofar saying that there was the news of a death. Everybody was working. Put everybody in excommunication. So what are you guys doing? You're not following the halacha. You're working, and there's a dead body over here. There's a dead person in the town that needs to be buried. I responded to him. No, we have chevra kedisha. We have people responsible for their dead, and this one isn't belonging to our community. It's the other community. So they're going to take care of it. He said, oh, if that's the case, I'm going to remove you from. I just put you in excommunication. I'm going to remove the excommunication on you. Someone who grieves more than the halacha tells you to do, the shiva, the shloshim, and things like that, the nugevelos, and you're constantly talking about the dead and thinking about the dead, eventually Hashem is going to punish you and have you have another dead body. And the Gemara relates this with the Maisa. I wait to see the Avi Beshukhba de Ravuna. So a woman who was in Ravuna's neighborhood. Havalo Shiva Banish, who had seven sons. Meis Chaminaya, one of them died. Avas Kabachim Betsurzele, she was crying so bitterly over him. Shalach le Ravuna, Ravuna sent the following message. Lo Tav de Achi, don't do this. If you listen to me, good. However, low, you're gonna start preparing for the other, that other dead body you're gonna have. Mis, another son died. And eventually they all died. Lasof, Amalei, at the end they said to her, Timush Zavdil Nafshech. You're preparing the dead body for yourself. And Misa, and eventually she died herself. All of her children died, and she excessively mourned about that. So the Gemara says, where do we learn this from the Psukim? Altif Kula Mes Valdin Dunbo. Don't cry for a dead person. Don't shake your head for him. This is interpreted to mean, Altif Kula Mes Yosir Mita. Don't excessively cry over a mace. But I want to do a yosir mekishir. Again, this is so hard to judge anybody who's in that situation. Sometimes Rechman al Tzad, when it's a terrible tragedy, people can't get over it. But it's hopefully gives you the koyach to move on. Okay, so that what should be the, it shouldn't be, not ever give bracha, everybody, nobody should have these shilas, and nobody should have these pain. Okay, Tzad. So how so? What's the measure of mourning? Shloshi yamin levechi. 3 days you should be really excessively crying with shiva, lahesped, 7 days for the shiva, and the hespedim, and the eulogies, and crying over them, and talking about them. Shloshim legetz is birth. 30 days you don't press your clothing, you don't get a haircut. Mikan ve'elech, from there on, you have more compassion than me. Like I obviously am the creator. I'm the person who obviously realizes that this person was supposed to be taken away. It hurts me also, but it's inappropriate to mourn excessively. So it says in Bacha Tivke Lahalach. So someone's crying excessively. Amar Rav Yehuda Laholach Below Banim. This refers to someone who dies without children. Rabbi Shimon Levi Azal Levei Avla. He came. He wouldn't use a law of Levei Avla. He wouldn't go generally to base Avel to pay Shiva call. El Man Dazal Below Banim Banim. Because this pasuk Nechseh Bechot Bechot Lach Ki Lo Yashiv Od Vira'eh. So this pasuk is referring to specifically someone who doesn't have any legacy, nobody to continue his name and to continue and go again for the land of his birthplace. That was something which we see is a reason for excessive grief, and he used to go pay a shiva call to that person specifically. Everyone else, I guess, he didn't have time for, but you wouldn't necessarily make an effort as much of an effort to go to other shiva house. Okay, but I'm going to pick up with Ravuna in tomorrow's daf.